Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
WEEI. New England Sports Original. Now, here's what's in our feed.
Jarren Duran has had a scorching month of May.
High and deep into right field. He did it again! Lead off homer for Duran, and it is 1-0 Red Sox.
Not only was that a career-high 9th homer of the month for Jarren Duran, but it was the 11th leadoff homer of his Red Sox career. With that, he passes Jacoby Ellsbury for the second most in a Boston uniform. The top spot is held by some guy named Mookie Betts. He hit 20 in a Sox uniform. Boston is off tomorrow, then they return to Fenway on Tuesday for 3 in a row against Baltimore. Live coverage begins with the MassMutual pregame show, 5:45, Tuesday night on 93.7 and the Shaw's Star Market Red Sox Network. Presented by Shaw's and Star Market, proud to be local since 1860. I'm Tristan Andrew for Boston Sports Original. You got sports, laughs, and authenticity with KJ Carson next on WEEI.
This is the KJ Show with KJ Carson on Boston Sports Original, WEEI.
Strike away from it here. 1-2. Chapman throws. And a swing and a miss. He got him. The ball game is over. What a thrilling come from behind win for the Red Sox to win this series in Cleveland. The 6-run seventh turned this game right around. Another homer for Jarren Duran. The Red Sox Road Warriors take 2 of 3 in Cleveland.
Can we celebrate? Can we celebrate? This feels so good. It's the KJ Show, 617-779-7937. Red Sox win 9-4. They score 9 runs 2 days in a row. Let's just forget the last couple of weekends, right? Let's just think about how the Red Sox beat a real team, won a series against a real team. The last time we tried to make ourselves feel kind of good was the sweep of the Royals. This is a little something different. And you wonder, with all the things that we were saying about Jarren Duran last month, and they were all, well, the last 2 months, and they were all true. Please get in the conversation, because just the same energy that you guys have been giving this team over the last few weeks, and it's been fair, maybe we give them their flowers before they get back here, and then we can discuss whether the flowers still stay in the ground here once they get back home against Baltimore on Tuesday. Is if Jarren Duran was able to get back to understanding the importance of getting the game started, getting that leadoff position back to some type of solidarity, getting it back to, okay, if the philosophy is we're going to go with speed and defense and getting balls into the gap and all those things, it really starts with the leadoff position. And what Jarren Duran has done this month is nothing less than fascinating, and it's why I was in the category of you just don't give away this guy just because of a 2-month slump, but because of what he can do. Like you hear this, you can't teach speed, but you start the game off and you kind of set the tone, and you almost feel like as things felt like they were going to fall apart in this game, at least they had started the game with the definitive statement. 617-779-7937, KJ Show here on WEEI. We'll hear from Chad Tracy in about 7 minutes. Here on the post-game show. Again, the Red Sox just looking absolutely phenomenal. Even impressive yesterday with just kind of putting the foot on the neck of the Indians at the end of the game. These are the things you say, you know what? If you could just take advantage of these small windows, these are the differences. So those who were kind of like, hey, man, you know, if the Red Sox just averaged one more run a game, what of a difference of this team could be? I totally agree. I think there's still a lot to catch up to do. A lot of it is kind of contingent upon what you can do at home. But overall, I mean, can we celebrate these guys just a little bit? I got to be fair, right? Because if I'm just one way now, in fairness to those who are holding season tickets, I've got a specialty for you at the end of the show. Because, again, one road series does not make it a Red Sox team that's good at home. That's still to come. But for this day today, and for yesterday, and it's against Cleveland. I mean, think about when Cleveland runs out of the challenges And there's clearly a third strike that would have ended the inning, and Cleveland still would have been up 4-3. The Sox have not been getting those breaks this year. So when you're getting those breaks this year, you feel like there's divine intervention, at least for a day. You know, I know my buddy Zach Coe over in the other studio here. He's a 162-er. It's probably what his blood pressure has been. It's probably been 162 over 70 this entire season, because you don't know when you're going to get these good feelings. They should be celebrated. I was a cynic against the Royals when they swept the Royals. I'm thinking, like, you know, the Royals AAA team could probably sweep the Royals. But Cleveland is clearly on the path to being one of your playoff teams this year. And this is what the Red Sox are going to have to do. It's really for this team, it's a chase to getting to 500. If this team can get to 500, I know Joe Weil and I, along with John Lyons, talked about this on Memorial Day, is if this team could get to 500, it still may look a little ugly, but if they continually play it and then maybe get on the streak, they're going to have one of these 6-7-8-game winning streaks somewhere in the season if you're one of those who believes that the Red Sox are like this last wild card team. 617-779-7937. Also get into the big news regarding Garrett Crochet. If you haven't heard, I'll tell you about that here in about 10 minutes here on WEEI. So again, like, it feels good. Like, Tristan, my producer, I'm thinking, I don't think I've been on the last several weekends where the Red Sox either lost that game or just lost that series or had been swept. Does that sound about right?
It has been brutal the last several weekends. I love coming into work. I love this job, but it stinks when the Red Sox are not doing
well. Now, in fairness, sometimes when the clouds come, it may just be a meteor blowing up over the South Shore, and now you see why all your taxes in Massachusetts go for it.
Ain't that something? I heard it's loud as sin yesterday.
It's designed. Now we know all the taxes in Massachusetts are all about saving us from meteors, and your tax dollars finally went to work. Thank you, all you bureaucrats who kind of continually tax us. But, I mean, maybe this is – we're so superstitious here in New England. Like, you're thinking, like, hey, imagine the Sox go on a run. They win this series. Baltimore is the third worst team in the AL on the road. Even though they're on a little run, they look like the Red Sox at home when they're on the road. So really the question is, can the Red Sox be this team that some people believe? In fact, we'll hear from Chad Tracy next. That's in 2 minutes. Yeah, in just 2 minutes.
We'll do it in 2 and 2.
Hang out. We continue talking Red Sox on WEEI.
This is the KJ Show with KJ Carson on Boston Sports Original, WEEI.
Yeah, boy!
KJ Show, 617-779-7937. I almost feel like we're in Club Red Sox right now because they've taken 2 out of 3 from the Guardians, scored 9 runs on back-to-back days, so this is not some type of anomaly. You saw Aroldis Chapman and he wasn't even in there for the save. I mean, it was almost like the worth of the price of admission. But really, the question comes down to, can they do this at home? And look, with a lot of young players and with a rabid fan base that has always been, and I think part of it as well, social media, this era that we're in for a lot of these young players. You know, like, remember back in the day, be like, oh, I don't watch television or read the newspaper. Now everybody's got a phone. So now you're like, you can tell me you got a phone and you don't see the stuff that's being said. I'm just saying for today, this might be one of the best feeling weekends about the Red Sox this entire season, despite some of the bad news that came down about Garrett Crochet. We'll get in that in about 5 minutes here on WEEI. 617-779-7937. But here's Chad Tracy with a lot of smile in his voice.
Yeah, no, he took great at bats. I mean, it's tough because you can't catch what you can't see. He didn't look like he saw it to me right off the bat. He was coming our direction. The ball was going towards the pole. So it stinks, but it happens. And Ranger threw the ball well. I think, you know, that would have been the second out and in line, maybe pitch count wise, another quick one and maybe going back out. But you know, those count as runs, but at the end of the day, he threw the ball well. So, but yeah, big hit, big hit by Mossalik.
When the door
cracks open there in the seventh, how satisfying is it to see them kick it in like that?
Yeah, it's big. You know, obviously we get the lefties off. Heron was crucial in that inning. He struggled getting in the zone versus the lefties, and then Willier forces the run in with a great at bat walk to tie it, and then Massa with that hit. So, and then obviously we keep stacking on after that to get into a comfortable lead. But really, really good at bats again today.
You mentioned the Abreu at bat. What's that like to kind of see him grind that out and then take a pitch that was, you know, that close? So I had just been.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a good at bat. He's obviously, it's well documented how well he's done against left-handed pitching this year. Got another hit late in the game off a lefty, so he sees the ball well. He stays in there, but. Obviously huge. You got to tie the game before you can take the lead. So those were really quality at-bats.
You know what the numbers are when you guys score first, but just for Jaren to have that big bolt there early, and how do you kind of describe just the month that he's had? 9 home runs. This is a career best for him.
Heck of a month. I know he got off to a very slow start, as did a lot of guys, but you know it is a long season. You have to have faith that what you've seen in the past and the damage this guy can do, it's going to show up eventually. So he's been really, really good this month.
In the seventh there, the Guardians at that point were already out of ABS challenges. Mm-hmm. For you, you've dealt with it more than most. Yeah. What are the discussions been here since you came here about making sure you save them for late and when to use them?
Well, to be honest with you, here lately, I think in our case, there's been a lot of cases where we're not using them enough. We did great with it today. You know, we turned some at-bats around, got a strikeout with one. Like, we did really well with it. So in our case, it's been more, let's not hesitate on calls that you know are egregious and you feel like are balls if you can get a strike back or whatever. So, but I do think, yeah, there are times where, you know, you got to be confident in what you see and overturn calls that you know are egregious. But if you got one late, it's helpful. I've seen that happen.
I know you've only been here for half of it, but how would you just describe Ranger's season so far?
I think he's been great. You know, I know there's, you know, there's a couple outings here lately where he probably wants to go deeper. I think he probably would have today. But one thing is, whenever he takes the ball, we're going to be in the game. We're going to get to the fifth, sixth part of the inning and get towards the back of the bullpen, and we're going to be in the game. He's a competitor.
From that standpoint, you feel like this is the best day that you guys had with the ABS challenges?
In my time, for sure. And you know, in the days that I've been here, no doubt. I think there was a lot of hesitancy, and I think today there wasn't. Like, there was conviction behind them, and we were right more often than not. It was good.
You guys have been carrying three catchers. Do you like that, or might that be something you take a look at?
I think I like it right now. I mean, Wonger yesterday, good at bats. Narvi, good at bats today. There's... You know, I know we've talked a lot about it's difficult to get all of them in there, but, you know, there's spots there for Narvi to go out and catch Ranger and Wonger with Sonny, and that was great. So right now that's what we have, and we're going to try to use all three of them the best way for them and for us.
You're about to enter a 9-game stretch at the start of June against divisional opponents. Kind of what's your insight looking ahead to that?
Nothing other than keep playing the game the way we did there. If we continue, and we're on a little stretch now, whether we win or lose, we're taking way better at bats, getting a lot more traffic. We're hitting the ball out front, driving it. So we keep doing that and keep our starting pitching, you know, rolling the way they are. We'll be okay. It's just part of it.
Your overall thoughts on the weekend winning a rubber game, which you guys hadn't done in your tenure?
Yeah, I mean, you know, losing the first game and you're kind of up against it. On the road, and you know, come back and win the game yesterday, and then at one point be trailing late today and fight back and put a big number up there and win a series. Now you have an off day and you're going home, so that's a big win today, but a big couple wins to finish this thing off.
Yeah, I know he's interim, but something is cutting through. You just have to admit it. I was an Alex Cora guy, but something is cutting through. Sometimes when things reach the ashes and things are ugly, because remember, Cora was 7 games under 500. Chad Tracy's nowhere near that in more than 27 games. So, again, something is clicking to get these guys to pay attention and at least stand up to adversity. Now, I think probably they get to rally around each other and wear their last names on their jerseys on the road. That might do something to them. I don't care. At the end of the day, you'll play 81 of them on the road. You'll play 81 of them at home. So if you continue to do this on the road, and that can translate to home, because it's going to take a while, right? You're the worst team in baseball at home, but that can change Tuesday when you got Connelly early up there, who's just been a complete different pitcher after the loss at Houston at the beginning of May, right? So, like, the Connelly early coming into May is much different than the one that we're about to see go into June. With 37 strikeouts and 41 and a third of innings. Look, 7 in his last against Atlanta, 6 and a third against the Royals, a no decision against Atlanta, and then a win against Tampa. So you're starting off with hope. Like, and again, even think about today's game with Ranger Suarez, where literally he just started throwing BP up there. You're like, oh my God, it's going to fall apart. I'm sitting here watching the game, and I'm thinking, like, I've eaten some kind of fast food, and now the game may put me to sleep, and then I got to wake up and deal with this, you know? And so I'm like, hey, wait. When you start seeing these things happening, it's really good sometimes when you have the thing that you've been able to lean on, really, because with Crochet out, and we'll get to the Crochet commentary here in about 4 minutes, is the youth of Toley and Early are going to be kind of this phase potentially of a resurgence that could happen starting Tuesday. So that is the hope, is at least they don't have to feel like, or Connelly Early have the pressure on him thinking like, okay, man, we just blew this game in Cleveland, the ride home, people kind of, their faces are looking a certain way, and now I got to be El Hero on Tuesday. Now you can go out, pitch your game knowing that you've got a little sail behind you. You've got run support that's been going on with this team. You feel like when you look around the diamond, because this is something I'd been saying, is kind of like, look around the diamond, what do you see? But now you say, okay, well, I'll bypass looking at Durbin. But you're like, okay, Durant is at his natural, I'm sorry, you got Mayer at his natural position. IKF, you know, literally is a guy who, he's pretty much on his last leg in his career and is making the best of it. Contreras has been that dog all year. You've got the three-headed monster at catching where you're like, wow, this, okay, there are some things there. Even the Yoshida mistake in the outfield, which, look, let's call it what it is, putting Yoshida in the outfield is a mistake most of the time. But what he did at the plate today was just kind of redeem himself to say, okay, maybe these little pieces will work. I'm not expecting the world. I don't think this team is going to win the AL East. I just would hope that this team can provide competitive baseball that can score some runs and win some games at home. Like, I think, and maybe I'll go through this whole thing again by the time we get to the middle of the summer, but I need some hope. I need to walk into a game feeling like, hey, this is something different than the Royals series. That Royals series, I was kind of like, that could be fool's gold. I mean, remember Greg Hill at his road show that Friday, like, are the Sox back? And I was just like, they just beat the Bad News Bears at the beginning of the movie, not the end of the movie. But maybe these Bad News Bears may be starting to turn it around. That's all you could hope for. 617-779-7937. All this good feeling in spite of the bad news regarding Garrett Crochet. That's next here on the KJ Show on WEEI.
93.7 WEEI.
New England Sports Original.
I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets uncomfortable. Banner civilizations, doomsday prophecies, and events that science still can't fully explain. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, more of the KJ Show with KJ Carson on WEEI.
The great news, Red Sox win today against the Guardians, take the series. They win 9-4. They scored 9 on Saturday. So, like, the Friday loss seems like technically something that happened like a week ago, it feels like. But unfortunate news dropped today is Garrett Crochet doing some warm-up. Strained his lat, and here's Crochet's thoughts on what's going on with his body right now.
Just felt a little stretch on the throw in the lat, and just informed the trainers and figured it was best to go no throw for a couple days. Gonna get some imaging on it just to make sure that we have the full picture, but feels like very minor, a very minor setback. It sucks to even call it a setback because it doesn't feel like it's even deserves that title. But, I won't be making the live on Tuesday, which sucks. But, just trying to make sure that, you know, when I do return to play, that I'm there for the rest of the year. I still feel like I was kind of a little far off from a rehab start. So it was very, very early in the build-up process. That's a pretty vulnerable time, though, for the arm in general during the build-up process. So if it was going to happen at some point, I would expect it to happen right around now, which sucks. But, you know, just strengthen the area and move on.
Yeah, this is why today's win is so important. So imagine what the narrative would be, say, tomorrow morning on the Greg Hill Show, or Jones and Keefe trying to figure out funny comedians before Friday. Is, wow, the Sox just lost another series. Yoshida blew an outfield play and he's out there. Suarez started throwing gopher balls out there. And Crochet's got a setback. Sometimes it's the smallest of things that can make a difference in terms of the attitude of this team because they're young. They hear everything that's said. You can't tell me they don't. If you need any evidence, just look at the previous 2 months of everything that's been going on around this team. You know, we even got Greg Hill playing the role of a doctor and being more right than the person who talks to the actual team doctor. It's been a crazy couple of months. Now, if they lose to Baltimore and lose the first two games at Baltimore, forget everything that I've just said here over the last 35 minutes here on WEEI. And if you missed any of course, the Odyssey app is free. And, of course, you can listen on your smart speaker by just saying, hey, Alexa, if that's what you're using, that's what listens to you the most. Play Boston Sports Original WEEI. It brings you right here. I appreciate you being here to kind of celebrate this Red Sox 9-4 victory. I mean, Tristan, I don't know if you noticed, but it's really quiet. This reminded me, the quietness reminds me a lot of the times when I was in class and I would get the A and some of the smarter kids would be getting C's on the paper. They're just kind of like, you know, like, it's just like, oh, we're quiet now because the Red Sox did something. Look, I can play heel, I can play villain. That's not a problem, but I recognize the importance of today, right? The importance of today. This is a good team they beat. Crochet had bad news to begin the day. Jamai Webster tore his pants. I mean, like, so many things were just lining up for, I don't know if you Mercury being in retrograde. Like, this team doesn't need any more retrograde. What's going on? They need it today. They need it on Tuesday as well. In fact, 5 minutes from now, I've got it's been so bad that the first episode was kind of 27 games at a time has been preempted. So episode two of 27 games at a time is in about 3 minutes. Here's Chad Tracy on the Crochet injury.
Creeped up in the couple days of throwing after the live and even started to try to throw here today, and it's lingering. So we're going to back off that. He needs to go back. We're going to see the docs. When we get back to Boston, see where we're at, but he's not going to throw the live on Tuesday. I will say over the last couple days, what he had is started to feel a little bit better, but until we know, like, we're not going to be able to do that. Yesterday, the last couple days, it's really lingered. We're hoping it was like, oh, it's soreness, but he's throwing and it's still there. It is improving, but for right now, we're backing off that until he sees docs and gets back home.
So while he's seeing the doc, it can't be the distraction because you've got a team on a win streak, right? It's like, that's right. They've won two in a row. They're on a win streak. Baltimore comes to town, and they're one of the worst teams on the road in the American League and of all of baseball. Maybe once or twice a season, you'll hear me say something totally outlandish about what the Red Sox have to do, and it usually isn't that crazy because it makes sense in the moment. The Red Sox need to sweep this series against Baltimore. Even though Baltimore's on a little bit of a run, that was at home. Get them away from home. You need to recapture the narrative. And I think out of this Baltimore series, the Red Sox need to come out of that series not being the worst team at home. Because that is such an embarrassing statement because it's like taping 50 first dates, you know, at a decrepit Pawtucket Red Sox. It doesn't fit. It doesn't fit. This is why you have to turn these things around. So, for those who are familiar, 27 games at a time is a feature that allows you to ingest the entire season, not so much game by game, because where would your blood pressure be? Plus, I ate a lot of French fries today, Tristan. So, with all that sodium in my system, imagine if it was a loss today. I'd be like, okay, Jay, are you okay? I'm like, face is numb. But we go through it 27 games at a time to give you six episodes. Here it goes.
27 at a time,
games at a time.
27 at a time, games at a time. 27 at a time, games at a time. 27 at a time, games at a time. 27 at a time.
It's a long season, folks.
All when you need to know if the Sox are stinking.
They still do.
KJ hooks you up. And then you get to thinking. 27 at a time, games at a time. 27 at a time.
Let's go back down memory lane where in episode one, we were preempted literally at game 27 when the team scored 17 runs in one game. Hit it.
Here's the pitch, and Wilson drives one high and deep into left center field. Are you kidding me? This thing is pummeled into the bullpen. It is gone. It's a three-run homer for Contreras, and it is 17-1 Red Sox.
Yeah, a long time ago, but that night, as I'm cleaning some stuff in my house and Tristan Andrews getting some stuff done, all of Boston was supposed to be lull asleep to a soccer game on one channel and a discussion about which U.S. arena has the best Canadian bacon. We here at WEEI broke into all that bacon talk nationally and came back live to announce that Alex Cora had been fired after the team just scored 17 runs and they still had another game on the road against Baltimore. It was crazy, but after 10-17, which tells you that management must listen to the show because that's 27 games. All of the offensive guys were let go with Cora, and all of the pitching coaches got to stay. Do we
Let's
have
go
the cut
to
of
Rhode Island and talk to Philip? You're on Westwood One Sports. What's up, Philip? Who's your team? Philip.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this.
All that bacon talk. I don't know what they were talking about. We had to break
Hello, everyone, and welcome in. I am John Lyons. The Boston Red Sox have fired manager Alex Cora, hitting coach Peter Fats, bench coach Ramon Vasquez, and game planning coach and Red Sox legend Jason Varitek.
So that was us breaking in. Of course, Tristan, it doesn't happen without Tristan kind of getting his work done and sitting in the parking lot. Am I wrong, Tristan?
It was circumstantial at best, but I'll tell you, the timing could not have been better. I was literally in my car for not more than 10 seconds before I found out and rushed back into the studio.
And it was I that convinced management that, hey, he's still in the parking lot, and you don't really have to pay him anymore because it's still within the hour. So, which leads us to now episode two of 27 Games at a Time, where meet Chad Tracy, taking that overnight flight, ambitious, young, and the former babysitter of many of the Red Sox players during their stint in Worcester County. While he's had no previous big league managerial experience, his job was to make sure those same westbound Pike kids could sharpen their skills playing for the eastbound lane of the Pike team. Here's Chad Tracy on what his thoughts of what being the interim manager was going to be like.
I mean, it's well documented, like as far as, you know, as you watch it, like, you know, the offense has struggled to get going, right? I do think, like, you know, I know it's not AAA, it's the big leagues, but there's a lot of really talented guys in there. I've seen it in action when it gets clicking. I was watching the game yesterday and, like, watching some guys that really needed it to get, you know, some big hits, and I'm fist pumping, like, there we go. Like, so as much as it's built and goes this way, it can build and go the other way as well. What looks like a heck of a starting rotation that's kind of been a little up and down. But again, very, very talented individuals.
Yeah, so one dog is going this way and the other dog is going this way, as you remember the movie Goodfellas. Well, the one dog that was looking the bad way was the hitting. But meanwhile, the arms were showing up when the bats refused to, like Connelly early.
Here's the pitch. And a swing and a miss. He got him slider in the dirt. And on this dramatic day, the Red Sox step up. They stand tall. And with a new interim manager, they win the game 5-3. They take 2 of 3 from the Orioles. Connelly early was awesome. And they really responded to a lot swirling around them.
Balls, two strikes, two down. Pitch. That's strike three called. Exclamation point for Ranger. He was utterly dominant, 10 strikeouts, and were it not for a little misfortune, we might have had a really special night here in Toronto.
So that's what the story was in episode two, was like, there's some real arms here. If they could just turn some things around with this bat, the pitching staff was there. Can they just score more than 2 runs a game? And they could become a scary team in a bad American League. Everybody was saying it sucks, except for so much that other teams started beginning pulling off little league plays against the Sox, like the Rays.
Infield is back in double play. That bunt toward the mound. Here comes the run home. The throw has to go to first.
And they get the out there, but it's a safety squeeze. And Williamson scoring from third without a play at home. It's 4-0 Rays. You know,
I was feeling for Joe on his Sundays because I'm thinking, like, man, all this guy wants to do is kind of retire and come back and get people in a good mood coming in. It was getting tough. So despite Crochet down, early Toley, Suarez, Gray were giving the team chances, but still no run support. A new guy. What do you think of these guys who can't hit, Chad?
Not tough at this point for the offense, especially the last eight games or so. I think it's not scoring more than three runs.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough, you know. It's flip side, and I know there's no consolation prizes here. We got to win games, but like we got 10 more hits today. Like we're putting together some better at bats. We hit a lot of balls hard for outs. So like we are actually having better at bats, but you know we got to push runs across, and we know that.
Yeah. So then next thing you know, oh my gosh, Trevor Story, the guy who gets a lot of money here, gets on the IR due to the, I call it the Hampus Lindholm lower body injury. Here he is.
You know, it's a core muscle injury. People call it a lot of different things. I've heard sports hernia, a lot of different stuff, but it's something that happens. Often to baseball players and hockey players. So, that's kind of the diagnosis now. It's just a matter of how severe and what the solution is.
Well, I don't think we'll be seeing Trevor Story again this year. Does he really need to be part of this story? So in episode one, the Sox go 10-17, 5 games off of a 90-win pace. You have to go 15-12 across all 6 to get to 90 wins. I don't think we're having that conversation anymore. 13-14 in episode two, so Chad Tracy with the better record. 2 games off the pace, so there's 7 games off the pace, and 2-2 so far in episode 3. They've got the worst record at home in Major League Baseball. That could change on Tuesday, and 12, 13 games out of the lead. So what should episode 3 look like? Maybe sell assets. I think Marcelo Mayer's off the table because of Story's injury, while Bello shows flashes after 3 outs have been made by somebody else. But he still needs a man in the mirror to pitch for affirmations like, I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, I deserve to pitch the beginning of the game. I do. So, in the 27 games at a time, remember, don't eat all your lunch at once. The season is still long, and they're turning it correctly in 27 games at a time. Next on the KJ Show, a parody song for all you Red Sox season ticket holders. Next.
Smart speaker to play 93.7 WEEI.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The KJ Show with KJ Carson on WEEI.
Caleb Durbin joins us down in the Red Sox dugout. What does it feel like to have a big series like this and to take 2 of 3?
Yeah, it's huge. Obviously, coming into Cleveland too, really good ball club over there. That's been playing really good baseball, and just bouncing back from our last homestand is big time, getting a series win here.
KJ Show, WEEI, 617-779-7937. Red Sox win 9-4. They win the series against Cleveland. They score 18 runs in the last two games, 21 runs over during the series. You go back to the Atlanta series. If you remember a few weeks ago, a guy called a driven from Florida all the way up to Atlanta for the 3-game series. It took him like 7 hours one way. And I was like, hey, the Red Sox didn't even score 14 runs for the 3 games you were there. So this is clearly a change. But before we get to the parody song I have for some of you who have season tickets. I kind of feel for you, and I know what you might be thinking. But let's go to Tristan Andrew and the reader of the scribes. Oh, what say the great people of Bostonia?
Oh, my gosh. They're not saying a whole lot today, KJ, and I think that might be because of the fact that the Red Sox actually won today. Right. But I can tell you, 617 texter says, one series in Cleveland does make a turnaround team, KJ.
Okay. You mean doesn't make a turnaround team? Because I can understand that. Yeah, I mean, yesterday that was a meteor. In 4 days, that could be a team that's struggling against Baltimore. And if they struggle against Baltimore, then you guys, we got to have a serious, serious conversation of what is this team? I mean, do you start getting to that sell deadline before the deadline? Because I was starting to hint at that last week. But, you know, like it's too, Lou Maloney's one of those, like it's just too early to think about selling. And I'm almost thinking like, okay, I don't know, you know how the commodities work. I saw this movie Trading Places where they were telling you, sell. Oh, great Tristan Andrew, what saith the great people of Bostonia on the scribes?
781 texter, Caleb Durbin has one good weekend and now he's something. I want what you're smoking, KJ.
Well, technically, nothing on days that I work, okay? First of all, you got to have some type of standards there. But the other part of that is, well, what is Caleb Durbin supposed to be? What did management truly think that they were paying for over there? Really just a prospect plus? So now, while you're, I still don't think you're seeing prospect plus stuff. Like, you can't say anybody's, like Rafaela Sedain, Rafaela is a great example of like what a watermark of what a prospect should be doing, right? Last year at this time, we're like, hey, man, can the guy hit over like 235? Well, now you've got a 270 hitter. He had the day off today. Maybe he tweaked something on that catch from the other day. But, you know, like Durbin still hasn't been able to prove himself in the major leagues yet. So I understand that, yeah, a couple of good games does not make him the third baseman of the future, but at least it puts some things to bed. And you just heard Durbin when we came in talking about like, yeah, after their last homestand. So truly, truly believe that they hear you in these stands and everything that goes on, especially from a home perspective, does get to these players. So while for some of you, I know it's really tough to not see the Red Sox kind of fall on their face again, it does make for great entertaining stuff that goes on here, you know. But at the same time, you know, at some point you got to be like, you know, can a kid get love? You know, I don't like using the word redheaded stepchild because, I mean, the redhead is already a recessive gene on the pundit square. So why just do that to the Red Sox? My thing is give them their flowers while the flowers are still fresh. Freshly cut, no thorns on them. What happens in this Baltimore series? I will tell you this because I'll be here again next weekend for the post game of the Yankees, right? So right after that Yankee series, and what happens with Baltimore? Because you're like, what are the expectations? And not to look ahead to the Yankees, but you have to say, man, the Red Sox really need to have a 5-game winning streak going into that Yankee series just to be able to say this team is attempting to try and stand on their own 2 feet. And when going to New York, can they tap back into that whole, hey, we can get this stuff done on the road because this is one of the better road teams in baseball. That's what's fascinating. It's like when you say anything about the Red Sox, you're like, they're horrible at home. They got a great pitching staff and they're one of the better teams on the road. Two out of those three things right there say this team might be in contention for a champion, a pennant at least. So let's see if they could turn it around because they did the thing they needed to do against a good division leading team. This is not what you did against the Royals, but you did. You took two out of three from a really good Cleveland team. You've got a Baltimore team who's one of the worst in the league on the road, and then you've got the Yankees in New York, and that's going to say a whole lot right there. 617-779-7937. So before I get out of here, Tristan, this is how it all came about. You know, Tristan, I give you a sheet, and these are the different bumper musics that we come in with, and one of them I was about to come in with. And then I started thinking about a couple of callers over the last week or so who said, like, hey, for these home tickets, it's just even hard to give it to friends. When I was on with Dan Ball, we were saying, like, hey, could you give away, like, this Baltimore series? Would it be hard to just kind of give these tickets away? So in the spirit of the Red Hot Chili Peppers, who I love so much because of their funkiness, this is for the season ticket holder of Red Sox tickets and can't give them away. Hit it.
Oh, I can't give away these tickets. It was easier giving away a daughter, and she was like 50.
Sorry.
Oh, Sox tickets, can't give them to your mama. Sox tickets, can't give them to your papa. Sox tickets, can't give them to your daughter. Sox at home is like drinking salt water. Bad fans in the stands, it's an issue. Bad fans in the stands, it's an issue. Bad fans in the stands, it's an issue. Grilling with the Sox won't stop, it continues. Realize I don't want to see Greg Weissert. First the slide, it's a long, deep flyer. Fan base about to be an upriser. Everybody keeps seeing tickets getting higher. Can't give them away, can't give them away, can't give them away now. Can't give them away, can't give them away, can't give them away now. Can't give them away, can't give them away, can't give them away now. Red Sox tickets being used as doorstop books.
Pretty little people in a sea of distress. Cale Durbin skills on the regress.
I'm impressed by Breslow's incompetence. Trevor Story bummed me, say hell yes. Lowbrow, but I got to point it out now. Sox tickets couldn't scat a unibrow. Get smart, scoop Yankee tickets somehow. No better time, 10 season than right now. KJ Carson, poet and a prophet. KJ Carson, show you how I off it. KJ Carson, walking like I talk it. Red Sox tickets fans can't get an offer. Can't give them away, can't give them away, can't give them away now. Can't give them away, can't give them away, can't give them away now. Can't give them away, can't give them away, can't give them away now. Red Sox tickets being used as doorstoppers. Can't give them away now. Can't give them away now. Can't give them away now.
Black dudes rock.
Maybe that's a Christmas present for next season. Please take my Red Sox tickets, please.
Thank you. Just because Cale Durbin had a couple of good games, like I'm not going to get him? I mean, he's, do this at home in remembrance of me. Yeah, so maybe if the Sox turn it around against Baltimore in this series, maybe some of your friends start calling you saying, hey, I'd love to go see them against the Angels when they come to town. you might give those up. It's just, that's the hope, right? Because you've heard me joke about saying, hey, look, is this going to be the summer where KJ face paints the kids as they go into the stadium? And maybe even it's going to be earplugs day. Every fan under 12 gets earplugs. Look, there's time to still turn it around. And if they could do it, then it means this team is growing. I've said I believe Chad Tracy is going to be the manager next year. And if you see these things like called key performance indexes, one of them is don't be as bad as Cora was to start the season. That's the key performance index for you. So, look, even though he doesn't have a winning record, he is getting them closer to 500 ball than they've seen all season. Again, what happens in this Baltimore series? And then even in the Yankee series, right? Because if they find themselves not getting embarrassed like they did in the previous Yankee series, or not finding themselves losing two games to Baltimore at home while still hearing Sweet Caroline, then the conversation stays the same that it's been before now. Tristan Andrew, my producer, thank you so much. You did a wonderful job. Hell of a job you're doing there, Andrew.
Thank you,
okay,
KJ.
That's kind of a bad presidential reference, and I say I'll stay away from that stuff. So remember, Greg Hill's show starts tomorrow, your day, 6 to 10 a.m. here on WEEI. Have a great Sunday. See ya!
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love.